I don't know, like, she's out there.
Yeah. You're the Florida version of Sex in the City, JD.
That's when I was smoking my cigar.
Don't be an asshole today.
All right.
Good. You're good.
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Maker's Mark. I pulled this out today.
Oh.
46. The bottle has like the wax. It's sealed with wax.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
This on the rocks. Maker's
that
Mark.
That is the, isn't that the drink of the What Happens Live Clubhouse? Andy Cohen.
Yes, it is.
Maker's Mark, I believe.
Yes, it is. It is. I never knew that was a bourbon. I always thought it was a scotch. Yeah, it's actually a Kentucky straight bourbon. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that.
That's one that always comes up, and Bullet always comes up for me. Well, I've got a little Shanky's Whip Irish Vanilla.
Oh, yeah. Whiskey. How is that?
It's good, but I've got it mixed with a little Coke, and I got to tell you, it's just like a vanilla Coke. It's very good.
That sounded so good when you were explaining it to me last week.
It's just like a whiskey liqueur, so it's got the alcohol burn, the whiskey burn, but it's got just a big vanilla flavor to it. It's fantastic.
Is that something we have here in the US?
I don't know. I never heard of it. I just happened to see it on Instagram. And I thought, I wonder if that's something I can get here. And sure enough, boom, got it. Nailed it.
I got to hand it to you. You do great at that. You really are.
I think I follow like a lot of like spirit companies on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and mixologists and stuff like that. So when I see something that looks like it would be really good, the first thing I do is like, check it out. Okay, there's Mark. Check it out to see if I can buy it. And 9 times out of 10, I can get it.
That's awesome. You bring the whiskey to the Whiskey Rock Lounge.
I try. I try and do my best. Listen, we got Mark Gilbert joining us right now. And he's like a legend in South Florida, in Miami. So I'm going to bring him on. Can't wait to introduce you.
Boom.
There he is. You look fantastic, darling.
You as both of you. I haven't talked to you forever.
Yeah, like 20 years, man. 20 years. JD, no, this is Mark
Gilbert. It's not been that long.
Very nice to meet you, Mark. I have.
I thought that you. Wait a minute. Hold on. I just got to finish this and then I'm done. I met you before.
You met JD?
You look very familiar.
Oh, you know, I'm sure we met in the community along the way at some event.
I would guarantee you that Mark has introduced you at a Pride Festival at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. Yeah, that's
how we work. I don't know if you know that I'm gay.
Yeah, you are gayer than gay.
So I read. So I've heard. I've heard things.
Two Q&As today. Our festival opens tomorrow night. So.
Mark, I appreciate you doing this. I know you are slammed right now. I know it.
For you, honey, there's no limitations.
I'm thrilled that we have you, but second of all, I don't even know the word. I'm like, as they say over here in London, I'm chuffed to bits that you are still involved. You're still doing this. And it's still such a wonder. I read what you wrote, and I just want to read it really quick for JD, because this is pertaining to the Outshine Film Festival, which, like Mark said, is opening tomorrow. And it's been going on 23 years in Miami and Miami Beach, 13 years in Fort Lauderdale, and they showcase thousands of LGBTQ films, well over 100,000 members of our LGBTQ family. And these are the films that show us on screen, on the big screen. Some of the stories are meant to inspire, others educate, and many entertain. And they are stories of love, heartbreak, coming out, acceptance, or the lack thereof. And they're the stories from all over the world and share our long history, but allow us to feel whole and help us to see who we are as completely normal. And I can't find better words, Mark. That was just a perfect way to sum up what this film festival is all about. And like I said, I'm so proud of you.
Are most of your listeners women?
I think we've got a good mix. Mark was the guy that like 20 years ago said to me, hey, do you want to do this segment on my Issues Over the Rainbow show called Chick Chat? And I was throw you on with somebody else and give you a couple of minutes on this FM radio show. And I used to wake up at 6 a.m. to listen to myself on the radio. And Mark gave me that chance. And we had such a good time. We had such a good
It was one of the highlights of my life.
Me too. Aww. It was the best years, man. It was the best year.
A lot of great shows. And we had, it changed me as a person, brought so much value to everything. I still am in touch with Mark, my producer.
Mark Winters. Yes.
He
look at the sign behind you. It's bringing back so many memories.
Yeah, that's my sign.
Oh my God. That is.
Is that how the Lesbian Lounge was born?
It was about a year later that Mark Winters contacted me and said, I'm doing internet radio. If you want to throw something together and pitch it to the people that I work for. And, you know, on the fly, I just went in there and I kind of got the feel. It was very, it was very porny. Like it was a lot of porn stuff, like how to make money in porn. And I was like, ooh, I don't know if I belong here. So I switched it up last minute before I stepped into the office and I came up with the Dirty White Chicks. And I made a show out of interviewing porn stars. and that's where Devin from Girl Radio found me and plucked me out of that nightmare.
I think I vaguely remember all that. That's so great to hear.
Yeah, it was fun. And then Devin threw us on a gay family friendly channel, and it turned into the Lesbian Lounge, but yeah, it was good fun. But if it hadn't been for this guy right here, you know, none of it would have happened. So,
our lives change on a dime just coincidence. That's we're on a journey and you keep yourself out there and the journey presents different opportunities. Let's rock and roll so we can do this.
Yeah. I want to hear.
Fantastic. You look so good.
So do you. So do you, my friend.
Sweetheart. I hope when I go to London, I see you. I have some friends I want to get out there. In fact, this girl that I was going to bring on, she actually lives in London. Her name is Jennifer Chris. She's my vice chair and one of my best friends.
Seeing if the name rung a bell. No.
Yeah, she knows a lot of the women in the community.
That's fantastic.
Her girlfriend is a big star in LA. She did the movie The Mummy. She was a supermodel. She's just a doll.
Oh, cute. Okay.
Maybe we'll get you on their show one day.
Yeah, definitely. Oh my God. And if you come to London, you know, mister, that I will make time. I will find you. I will hunt you down. And we'll have a drink.
Let me forget. If you ever see me do a post that says I'm going to London, don't let me forget because my brain doesn't work so good. All right.
Your brain works fantastic because you are juggling so much. Tell us a little bit about the Outshine Film Festival this year because it sounds fantastic. Tell me a little bit about the films this year. And then I also want to ask you how you find, after all these years, how the festival's evolved.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we've showed literally thousands of movies to the community. And every year our festival, whether it's our 24th coming up in Miami this year or our 13th coming up tomorrow night in Fort Lauderdale with our big opening, with usually anywhere between 50, 80, 90 movies, depending on the festival. We always seem to find content. I've got a great programmer who just knows the industry so well and is able to find the best in LGBTQ cinema before it hits Netflix, before it hits Amazon. So we just keep going. We keep rocking and rolling. And you asked an interesting question, Denise. You asked how we've evolved. And the evolution of the festival is nothing short of spectacular because it started in a time when the community really had no outlets. And where LGBTQ film, God, imagine the thought of ever seeing an LGBTQ movie on your television at home. Come on, that's never happening. We don't show those gays on our TVs. That blows the freaking tube up, man. That's, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, but short of it blowing the tube up, which maybe it did because I've shown, but oh, those are different LGBTQ. Never mind. but it, the reality is that, you know, back when we started, there was no place to go watch us on the big screen. And I always like to say, you know, like you had to watch Brad and Angelina as you know, together, and suppose that there's a Brad and Jeffrey and an Angelina and Denise or something,
right,
in order to make it into your wheelhouse, you know, because it did nothing for you to see the two of their chemistry on screen or whatever they were doing. You want to see you people like you that make you feel whole, make you feel real. And that's something I think that back then the film festival was able to do, was able to show so many movies that made us laugh and cry, and it represented the, let's call it the gayer side of our community compared to the more, I'm not really like that kind of community. And the women who, I remember, Denise, like you used to walk in with your football jersey into the studio and you used to say, no, I'm not a femme lesbian. Okay, guess what?
You're apologizing.
Yeah.
Well, she was never apologizing because Denise would never apologize for who she is, if you know her. But the reality is I guess the point I'm trying to make in all this is that, we come in all shapes and sizes, and our movies are about all shapes and sizes. And some of us are real femme and some of us are real masculine. That, by the way, goes for both the men and the women. Okay.
So true. And so, yeah.
And so the movies are about a lot of us. And it's not even us as an LGBTQ community learning about different elements of our community. You know, a lot of people from there,
these real macho guys that don't want to say, hey, I don't need to come out and all that shit. You know, I'm like,
yeah. Reality is they look at some of the femme people and they're like, oh, I'm not like that, you know. Well, you shouldn't be offended that they're like that, because they have just as much right to be like that as you have to be how you are.
And yeah.
And I think it teaches them that we're all humans, and how we act is in our space is, guess what? None of your freaking business about how
right.
That's who we are.
Yeah.
You know, we get to be really butchy lesbians, and we get to be really femme lesbians and everything in between, because that's who we are. That's what we want to be.
Yeah.
And the same goes on the guy side. So the films have evolved, you know, in that same way as has the festival, to get back to kind of like, if I ever can get back to a point once I start. But the film and the film festivals have evolved as well, because as more and more content became available in other and having other ways to get it, whether you just go on your phone and just look up a YouTube thing,
right,
or anything, or any thousands of ways from Netflix, Amazon, and other channels as well, the content is out there. And DVDs were out there, and there was all kinds of new ways to get content on your screen at home. And so we had to evolve too. We had to become more creative. And that's something new for us, because we've always maintained being an in-house festival. And I think COVID is the thing that really elevated that need to figure out how to do. And I came up with the concept Outshine at Home. And Outshine at Home is a concept where you can watch content in your living room, or you can go to the theater and hang out with your friends and watch movies there. So we have both of those, you know, right now, and we'll have both in the festival.
Oh, that's fantastic. Cause awesome. You know, I mean, even without COVID, sometimes I would just prefer to watch it at home, you know, but I got to tell you, I will never forget that feeling of, and I remember walking into Cinema Paradiso and watching a movie from the film festival. And I think I was I'm going to guess I was with Donna. And I said to her, can you imagine, we're sitting in a theater and we're watching like a gay movie in a theater with the seats and the popcorn.
Right.
Like, it was just unheard of. And I think, you know, nowadays we know so many filmmakers, you know, from doing the podcast and the show and everything, you know, we've met like Kristen Baker of Baker Films, and we know that we are able to make these films. And the next step is, where do we get people to see them? So film festivals have become so important to get that product out there, to get that project seen, you know, and not so much, you know, the accolades and the Q&As and all that stuff, just butts in seats, seeing the work that we work so hard on. So these film festivals are immensely important to filmmakers. And I just love the fact that 23 years, 13 years in Fort Lauderdale, I mean, it's an accomplishment. You see so many of these things, like you said, you know, COVID and everything, so many of these things have set back, you know, had everybody, had, you know, we didn't know what was going to survive the pandemic.
Right.
Here you are, man. Here you are putting it on once again. And it's thrilling. It's absolutely thrilling. And your involvement is amazing to me. You got, an, like you said, an amazing programmer. Tell me a little bit about what it's like selecting. Like, how does she come to you and say, here's what I got, and then you approve it? Or do you just trust?
Just like a lesbian, assuming it's a she. Just like you.
Oh, you, I thought you said she was a she. I'm so sorry.
I never said that. She might be a lesbian, but she is a he. And I'm not going to give he a label or call him a lesbian or gay.
We'll just call it your programmer.
We'll call him programmer. How's that?
So, programmer. Does programmer bring it to you and get your approval? Or do you?
No. You know, he has an expertise in his field. And the only thing I really get involved with is our main slots, so that, you know, that we have slotted the right films for opening, closing, centerpiece, and our gala spots. That's my biggest concern. But I trust his judgment and what he says about films. Films are subjective, and there's all kinds of people that like such a wide scope, wide variety of film. And I have watched many a film that I didn't like and watched the audience come out and just be, wow, that was great. And I've watched many films that I've loved and had the audience come out. You know, see, there is no one judgment. There's no one criteria, because we all like something slightly different. Right. And I remember a story that one of my favorite films when I was in Berlin at the Berlin Film Festival, where I went to, you know, meet with all of our distributors and watch the newest, latest movies. There was a film there that was from Peru, and it was a really mind-blowing movie. In fact, not a movie I would typically go to. In fact, it was one of those movies that kind of, I was sitting in the audience halfway through and the theater was packed. And I said, you know what, I'm not getting this. And I was kind of going to get up, and I didn't. I said, no one's leaving. They must know something. Because, you know, a lot of times people will start to walk out of a movie and think, well, I stayed, and boy, am I glad I did, because it was just such a moving film. One of my absolute favorite films of the festival. And anyway, it took me a long time to get it here to Miami. When we finally got it, we brought it in, gave it a prime spot. And as we were leaving, and by the way, our screening committee loved it. Our programmer loved it. You know, it wasn't just me. And on the way out, one of my high-end donors came over and said, how dare you show a movie like that right in front of everybody? How dare you? And he just chastised the crap out of me over showing a movie like that in our festival, because it didn't have it. The ending was not good. I shouldn't say the ending was spectacular, but it wasn't, you know, a feel-good ending. It was a story about what happens in Peru when you're gay in remote Peru, and you live in a remote area with poor people, and this is who you are, and they find out it's not pretty. But the performances were mind-blowing, and I loved the film. But here was a guy that just, you know, that was his take. He just felt it didn't belong in a gay film festival. So, and I respect, by the way, his opinion. He didn't have to kind of go at me like he did, but back off, boy, back off. You know,
time and place, man.
But I've got big shoulders, and it was no big deal. But yeah, the bottom line is that we have so many films, and Joe watches all of them, and lines up how, you know, the slots that he thinks they belong in, and their documentaries and their comedies and their stories of coming out or love or hate or whatever from all kinds of different countries, the plethora of diversity of films is so huge. The documentaries on our community, and the people that came before us in our community, and the designers and all of those people that were the first people to say, like, honey, I'm in your face, and if you don't like it, why don't you just get the fuck out of my studio, you know?
Right.
They were the ones with courage that made it easier for me to come out. And then there's the shorts program with young aspiring filmmakers that are doing their first short. So all of that is part and parcel to what makes our festival so great and wonderful and inclusive. And, you know, you said an interesting thing when you first came to the theater, you read my op-ed piece, you saw it, happened to see it in Miami Herald. Today, I understand it's being published in Palm Beach as well. And I'm hoping Fort Lauderdale, but we'll see. But it showed about that. It tells the story of the first time that I saw a gay movie and the first time that I went to a gay film festival. And both of those experiences were life changing for me. The first time I was married and I'm sitting in a theater seeing that Harry Hamlin movie. Now I can't think of the name of it, but it evades me, but it's in the article. And it's about a married guy that finds a boyfriend.
Yes. Yes.
You know? Yeah.
And I'm sitting in my seat next to my wife watching and I'm crying because love was so distant to me as far as it was my knowledge of the community at that point. It was more, you know, a sexual beginning for me instead of an emotional beginning, because I had the emotional beginning at home, not the sexual. But, right. You know, it was great. And then when I went to my first film festival and I saw him sitting in a movie theater with 400 or 500 gay men and women and watching us on, you know, opening night movies, usually a great movie, and watching this film and looking around and every not having to go, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Like, right. Right. And everybody's love it. My God, it was life changing for me. And that's, as you know, I had my radio show and on Vote Party 93.1, that logo up there is a testament to it. And you were on there on Chick Chat. And I had the South Beach Dance Party on Y100. And both of those came through my involvement with the film festival. So it's been a great evolution. The film festival's helped me to come out and it's helped me to bring content to the community in various ways, whether it's through the film festival or at that time, whether it's through my shows or the countless events that I would host at various places and the attempt to try to make the broader community get an understanding of who we are. Not just us, but the families that surround them, and making people feel more comfortable with who they are.
That was a chicken and the egg. I didn't know what came first, the radio show or the film fest work. So,
well, it's interesting because I was going to say the chicken, but then I was going to change it to the egg. And I didn't know
you were juggling both of those at the same time. You're right. You do have heavy shoulders. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And I'm amazed.
God, stop talking. I'm in so much pain right now. My God.
You know what? That's interesting what you say about the big screen and seeing the movie, a movie about with gay content, because I remember when Personal Best came out, it had the typical story of the older lesbian who was pursuing the younger girl. And then in the end, the younger girl goes with the guy.
You know, what's interesting about women's films is that a lot of times that we had these films where the woman leaves the man for the woman and ends up going back with the man. And I can't tell you, any women would after the movie say, why do you show films like
we
that?
We hate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really hate
that. And it's understandable that because it sends the wrong message when love is supposed to be love and not just a fling. It's supposed to be a long-term thing. And so, and that's the thing I think about film is that, you know what, there isn't one message, one way to think. It's every writer gets to write his take on the subject that he's going to exploit in his movie. And every director gets to bring to life what that writer is trying to create and make it, you know, work on screen. And that diversity is so extensive. And I think it's what makes gay films so beautiful, is we get to see ourselves in every way, shape, and form on screen, younger, older, all colors, all elements of our community, you know, the good looking like me and the not so good looking, you know, so I'm just kidding, guys. My phone number, by the way. So, no, have them call me. I have a nice place. I'm available Monday through Sunday from 8 to 12 p.m. Not after that. I have to sleep after that. So anyway, yeah.
That's the beauty of the festival, is that it does the diversity and the inclusivity. You know, part of what you were saying about bringing the, you know, all different shapes and sizes and femmes and butches and all the different types. I think one of the things that the film festival does is that it teaches us a little bit more acceptance within our community. You know, there was a time where, like, I know that I'm a butchy femme, you know, I mean, a butchy lesbian, and I am attracted to femmes, not to butchy girls. And I kind of had blinders on when it came to like the butchy girls, like, yeah, hey, what's up, you know, and then like didn't want to have anything to do with them, you know, like,
no.
And it's teaching inclusivity, it's teaching acceptance, it's teaching that, like, you know, I used to be super intimidated by really campy, swishy, femmy gay men. Like, I would be intimidated because they were more feminine than me, and it would intimidate me, and I would tend to shy away.
You didn't like me? Is that?
It's open. The films and the people that create them, because we can't forget about behind the scenes, people that create them and the films themselves have taught me to be a lot more accepting than I was when I first came out, and I was very pigeonholy. You know, I pigeonholed myself, I pigeonholed people, and it really broadened the way I was a little bit narrow-minded. I'm not even ashamed to admit it. I was
narrow-minded.
And this really helped me to, you know, broaden my scope.
Our vice chair, Jennifer Crisp, would consider herself to be, I don't know if she's a femme, and I don't know if she calls herself a lipstick lesbian. She's beautiful. She's one of my
closest. Yeah, that term's so 80s. Yeah.
And she forced herself to fall in love with a supermodel. It was terrible how she
had to be right.
You know what? I give her so much credit for pushing the envelope outside her norm.
Yeah.
And meeting this fabulous woman, who is just such an asset to our community as well. So both of them are, well, just bringing them up because they're my good friends.
But it's incredible, like, what these films can teach. Like, there's a power behind them that, you know, maybe we don't get it, you know, in that moment, but, you know, later on when you're home microwaving some mac and cheese after you've been to a film festival movie, you process and it hits you and it helps you. So it just, you know, I just think it's incredible. And I'm, like I said, I'm super, super impressed with the longevity, the following that you have, the amount of members that you have. You know, it says something. It says something about what you do and what you're presenting to people and how much they love it. And, you know, and your involvement in it only makes it better. So I wish you a buttload of success this year.
Tomorrow night, Thursday night, we're opening, and I know a lot of people see this afterward, but we're opening at the Museum of Science and
Discovery. It's on for what, 10 days?
10 days. It's on Thursday, tomorrow night, at the Museum of Science and Discovery, with our opening night film and then an amazing party afterward that are always so much fun. Anything with drinks and food, you know, has my name on it. So I love that. And then we move up to Friday, Saturday, Sunday at both the Gateways and Sabre Cinema, which is, as you called it before, Cinema Paradiso. Now it's called the Super Cinema. And then we go virtual Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with movies virtually, and that you can watch Outshine at home. And all of that's on our website. And then we reopen again with Centerpiece the following Thursday. And we went Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with a great closing night at the Sunshine Cathedral and a great party afterwards. So we've got a great lineup of film. Send your friends, do a little reach out, do an email blast to the women. We want to get more women. I don't know, women for some reason. I feel like that if we would start the movies at 4 o'clock, we'd get more women.
I don't know. Homebodies.
Is that the gateway on Sunrise in Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, just reopened too. They just reopened it. So on that, I'm gonna bid you guys a farewell and hope we do this so many times again because this was so much fun. Yes. And
Have to get tickets in advance for that?
Yeah, just, the website Outshine. You know. Boy, what a good prompting! I love it. Outshinefilm.com. Outshinefilm.com. And we have movies all year long. And then in Miami in April, we'll have our 24th edition as well. And so keep going and going. Okay.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Mark, it was so good to see you. I love your face. I love everything about you. And
nice to see you again.
We have to do better at keeping in touch.
We do. My bad. It was so great. So great to be with you guys. Denise, I love you. And we'll talk soon.
Take it easy, Mark.
Bye, bye-bye. Mark.
Bye, guys. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. That was fantastic.
Well, that's going to be right here. So it's not all in Miami. The Cinema Paradiso. That's Fort Lauderdale too, right?
Down east, yeah.
I played there once. My band.
It's a great little venue, you know. It was very kitschy and vintage, and I think it was Hal something was in charge, and we did a lot there. We went to a lot of films. We went to a lot to see a lot of short films. We went to see, that's the thing is that they thrived on the independent films at cinema.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
We did a fundraiser.
In your neck of the woods, man. You got 10 days.
I'm going to either hit Gateway or Cinema Paradiso. Cause I know I'm much more familiar with Fort Lauderdale than I am Miami.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but you know, I can always make a road trip down there.
It is. Like I said, that feeling leaving a movie theater after seeing, an LGBT film, it stays with you. It sticks with you. It's just something that's it's so foreign. It's such a foreign feeling that
is true.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about, like I said, the two movies I mentioned, Desert Heart, they were on the big screen. They were mainstream movies. And at the end of the movie, when Mariel Hemingway goes with the guy.
Mariel Hemingway.
That's who it was, right? When she ends up going with the guy at the end, like the other woman was okay with it. Like just the way they ended it was just so, that's not the way you wanted to see it end.
Exactly. And that's how I felt. I remember when I saw Kissing Jessica Stein was such a fantastic movie. All the way through, it was witty, it was funny, it was things that resonated, whether you were gay or whether you were straight, because this woman, started off like getting out of a relationship with a guy and then getting and then ends up deciding that's not what she wanted, and you're right, it's like they try and put a bow on it.
Right. Oh, that was just a phase. It was just a phase, and she came to her senses, and other woman was okay with it. She's waving to her at the end,
It does. That's the best way to put it. Like that, she came to her senses and went back to the norm. And those are all the things that that a film, that is wrapped in LGBT shouldn't be. We're trying to explain that we are normal.
And that's what I grew up seeing. I remember I was on a triple date that night with my ex-husband, who was not my husband yet at the time. I was in college. My sister and some guy, I guess it was her future husband too. And my friend who I set up on a blind date. So when that movie came on, my sister goes, did you know this is what that movie was going to be about? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't know.
Yes.
But it was almost like back then it was, you didn't think about it as not being like, that shouldn't have been the ending of the movie. And I just remember thinking, because it was years before I came out, you realized, you know.
Yeah, that was like 30 years later.
Yeah, I was remember thinking like I guess that's the way it's supposed to be, but it didn't sit well with me. Like right. I didn't feel good about the way that went. You know, like how, why?
That should have been your first clue 30 years ago.
Should have been the first clue, yes.
Red flag.
Maybe yeah. If it had a different ending, it would have been a different story. Right.
I would have come out 2 years later. It is true, though.
It's like time for everyone.
Did you feel like when you did come out that everybody, it was so anticlimactic because everybody else figured it out, like they knew?
Totally.
Yeah. But you still had to say it. You know, you had to say it because it wasn't like you were confirming it. You were just making it official.
Yes, I totally. Right. It was just exactly that, anticlimactic. And it was like, we knew. We always knew, you know.
Right? I remember, my cousin was like 13. She was like, I knew because of your shoes, you know, and it was just like.
I remember you told me that. Yeah.
My shoes. But yeah, it was really funny. And I think, you know, a lot of times there's, and it's not the same for everybody, but like, this was just, you know, this was just coming out, National Coming Out Day, you know, was Monday.
Right.
You know, and everybody was talking about their coming out stories. And you know, I feel like it was kind of like, you know, when you are getting in the pool and you stick your toe in and then you go to the next step and then, you know, you just your shoulders wet right away. That's how I feel like my coming out was, because I brought up bisexuality and said, well, maybe I'll date girls and guys. And it was just like, you're trying to take the temperature of the room before you say, I'm a lesbian, you know, like I'm out. So it's different for everybody, but it was great though. That, you know, seeing Mark, like I said, he just took a chance. Like, I don't even remember how it came about.
That's awesome. That,
you know, but being on like an FM radio, an actual gay, I mean, obviously we were on a dance channel, so it shouldn't have been a surprise, but it was pretty cool to be on a, you know, like
a
gay radio show broadcasting on FM radio. And it was, that was what led me to meeting Miss Sharon Gless when the Queerest Folk folks came through for their, that was my first
match. So that was pre-Lesbian Lounge though, right? That was before you.
Yes, way pre.
So he just saw this in you to do that? He saw this talent.
I guess, like I said, I can't remember where we crossed paths first for him to even ask, but he just said, you know, I want to show the dichotomy in the lesbian community. So I want Chick Chat to be you. And it, at the time it was Rachel Robinson from MTV, who was super
fun
jockey.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was a great launch pad. It was super fun.
And I guess our paths must have crossed, I'm sure, at a Pride Fest or some Pride event. Maybe he introduced me or something. I'm sure we've crossed with that.
I think I actually remember him introducing you at something. I just don't remember what.
But yeah.
All right, we're going to wrap up.
He drank way too much whiskey.
Like, never stop chasing your dreams.